Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Happy to be back from our holiday break with a new show for you. We'll start by diving into the housing crisis. Ongoing efforts to address the substantial need for more affordable housing suggest multiple solutions are necessary to build the needed level of available housing stock. One possible approach that could help is something called upper floor housing or upper floor redevelopment projects. They are a way some communities are utilizing underused spaces like empty office buildings or unused historic buildings to meet demands for housing while preserving their downtown facades. Upstairs Downtown is an organization that seeks to help upper floor redevelopers through workshop events, like one held last month at the Smyrna Opera House. Delaware Public Media's Israel Hale spent some time with historic preservation architect Mike Jackson and Carmody Consulting's principal consultant Dan Carmody to discuss how Delaware communities could benefit from upper floor redevelopment.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about in general was this idea of the upper story, turning upper stories into residential, et cetera. Can you guys just talk on that? I mean, some folks, I myself included, don't think about this type of thing every day.
Well, we think it's a pretty big deal. For 20 years, we've been sort of on the road telling the story, and America has, you know, hundreds of thousands of towns and cities, particularly of smaller size, with roughly about 50% of the second or third floor space above small buildings is vacant. And many towns have found out that once renovated, those spaces are pretty cool and people really enjoy living up there. And so it helps to drive, you get 150 people living in a small downtown, each spending $10,000 or $15,000 in their neighborhood. It has a positive effect not just on the upper floor, but on the merchants who are trying to make a living downtown.
And largely it's this growth of population in the communities that addresses a need of, what do you do with a vacant building? But we have these half-vacant buildings where we traditionally had a first-floor, ground-floor use that kept up. But the upper floor now we think actually could be more valuable than the first floor, as we've seen the decline of retail and online taking over. Shops are leaving. But let's get people living downtown and keeping these buildings occupied and keeping them in use forever, which improves the quality of life in the town, the tax base of the town, and creates more citizens in the town.
And, at the same time we have this vacant space that's an existing resource, we've got something on the order of 3 to 4 million units of housing short in a national housing affordability crisis. So this isn't the answer to that big problem, but it could be part of the answer to that bigger problem.
Rather than tearing a building down, I mean, is there any value to leaving it up?
Sure. The first value is that every time you build a new building, you've got to spend a lot of money on new resources, which takes energy. And by saving a building, you're doing a great resource in carbon avoidance, on climate change avoidance, et cetera, because you don't have to build all that new stuff. You've also got the economic advantage, and then you got the community advantages. So all these come together. The reason we're here is that most small property owners are not conversant in the skill set of economic development and real estate development. So we're here kind of championing all the different real estate development skills that are needed to give small property owners the skill set to help develop and make these properties useful again.
I would just add that many of these buildings are historic gems. They're buildings that we don't build them that way anymore. They really define the soul of our communities, particularly smaller ones. And you tear down that history, you're left with basically a strip mall. And if you want to live there, congratulations. But a lot of people do want to have a place that's kind of unique. And certainly, whether it's Smyrna's Main Street or Milford's Main Street, those are distinctive places because of those buildings. And the upper floors, compared to, say, a modern apartment building, typically will have higher ceiling heights, bigger windows, more light, hardwood floors, maybe some ornate wood trim that we don't make anymore. And then those features, once highlighted, once polished, once brought back to life, we found that people actually pay a premium to live in that kind of space rather than a traditional new apartment on the edge of town.
Are there challenges to doing this?
If this was easy to do, it would have been done everywhere. But what we recognize for the typical older property owner who has this, Real estate development is challenging. There's a lot you need to know, from finance, from development, from the marketing, from the operation,
building
to building costs, zoning ordinances, building codes. So we're trying to hybridize and put all together all these little specialty areas you need to know about, so that people get familiar, know what do they need to know, and maybe who do they need to know it from, so they can start being active with this. And we really try and focus on the civic leadership in the community, local economic development, planning departments, Main Street coordinators, people that can be that conduit to all the owners to build their skill set.
And one of the big barriers is just the fragmented nature we're talking about of a lot of small buildings. And so, you know, much real estate development is done by professional real estate developers, where time is money, and time to do a bigger project, just about as much time to take in to do a smaller project. And so many of these buildings aren't traditionally done by established developers. They're done by people that might have a store on the first floor, they might have a desire to live on the second floor. You know, they're very small, and they're just as complicated as some of the bigger projects, and that's a real barrier.
The skill set of the code enforcement in America has been largely based upon new construction. So the subset of people that specialize in existing buildings is much smaller. And so we're really working on that, how to make buildings safer, but not necessarily get into all the safe level we might get in a brand new building, but definitely safer, definitely better, and typically the way they've always been, by saving those assets of them that are particularly noteworthy.
So what are some ways that the average person like can navigate some of these challenges of this sort of code and the rules? I mean,
I would say the tools that we're offering is that, and tomorrow we're going to specialize in how the building code works, the professionalism that you can use, and there's a new system of numerical safety that gives you points for different types of things you do to make a building safer, because you get a lot of points if you put a sprinkler system, but you can get the same amount of points if you add an extra staircase or add a better fire protection system in terms of alarms. So there's a variety of ways in which you can make buildings safer, and there's a new system that uses a points-based system to do that rather than a specific prescriptive formula.
I do want to ask a little bit more, too, about, you know, the personalities of downtowns, like you mentioned, the strip mall stuff. Are there places that have gone ahead and just sort of, these old buildings, we can't get them safe, it's too much trouble to get people to stay in them, so we're just going to tear them down?
I can't think of a place that has decided that's public policy. On the other hand, I think there's a lot of places in the last 30 years that didn't pay any attention to their older buildings, that realized that they're an asset that we should pay attention to them. So I think the local trend across the country has been the opposite, that people are putting higher value in older buildings, but that doesn't make them any less challenging to solve.
And I know during your presentation, Mike, you gave some specific examples. Can you give us some examples now as well of some places that have utilized this type of model and seen success?
Hastings, Nebraska, and Quincy, Illinois, both of which have had extensive expertise in remodeling dozens of their buildings downtown in relatively small towns through small incremental improvements with their locals. So that's just two examples, but there's hundreds more across the country. There's more than 1,500 Main Street America communities across the U.S. And those are communities with active downtowns that are promoted with a professional organization that's responsible for telling the story of why their downtown is great and promoting its activities, preservation, and utility to the community.
So we've been doing this since 2005, and I can tell you from firsthand experience that towns I've worked in extensively in Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, Illinois, Michigan, have been implementing some forms of the things we're talking about in some fashion.
Is there anything specific about this particular opera house that you guys see that's like stands out?
I haven't gotten into the weeds on the particular facility, but
I think every community has a sense of its destination place, the center of town, downtown, as being a place that's part of its core identity. We see more and more commercial historic districts and community centers.
I mean, just the number of plaques around the building about who donated what. Obviously, this place resonated with residents here. They wanted to support its renovation.
More of a future-facing question. Is this practice of this sort of upper level residency of living above these other places and filling these sort of vacant areas, is this something that you would hope would gain even more traction?
Well, it's gaining more traction because, as it turns out, because we're so good at ordering things from Amazon, that the demand for space on the upper floors is actually getting stronger as the demand for retail space on the ground floor continues to weaken. So we just heard from one developer this week, they lost their two retail tenants. The only reason they haven't had really strong financial problems is the four apartments upstairs are just churning along. So I think you'll see more of that until I don't see a reversal of the trend that storefront retail is really difficult with all of the business we choose to do. And I'm not throwing stones. I've ordered my Amazon gifts to get here before Christmas, just like everybody else. But that is a fact of older downtown Main Street communities is the upper floor demand is actually becoming stronger as the first floor demand for space becomes weaker.
And we want to make vital communities that have lots of people living in them the safest place.
Yeah.
It's safer to live where there's lots of other people living when you've got this attitude of downtown is everybody's place.
And if you have one apartment and somebody opens a coffee shop, it's no big deal. But over the course of 10 years, you build 100, 125 units, all of a sudden, you got a much more successful coffee shop.
Thanks to historic preservation architect Mike Jackson, Carmody Consulting principal consultant Dan Carmody, and our Israel Hale for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny joins us for a look ahead to some of the things to watch for on the art scene here in 2026. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.